I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is the scariest sound you will hear when you live in a communist country. This is the last sound my parents heard when their fathers were taken away in the middle of the night, and they never saw their loved ones again. That's the sound of losing your freedom, the sound of always living in fear.
Always living in fear. Those are the words of retired Navy Captain Hung Kao. His riveting campaign ad as he runs for the Democrat-held seat in Virginia by Senator Tim Kaine. The pounding you were hearing was him like he's pounding on a door to get in. And you must let him in. If you're a communist Chinese trying to come in, they're going to get in. The retired Navy captain now running for the Democrat Senator Tim Kaine's seat nails what we need to do as a nation. Now, before the hour's out, you're going to hear more from him coming up. Welcome to August 7, 2023. We began our two-hour back-to-back program on News Talk STL, Larry Connors USA. Video of the show is streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, Rumble. But first to the big news of the day, or at least the news that is occupying a lot of minds. The Devin Archer testimony the other day still is sending shockwaves. Florida Congressman Donalds.
The evidence is most damning is what happened with Burisma. Hunter Biden goes on the board simply because he's the conduit to Joe Biden. There is a conference call, a business meeting at Cafe Milano where Joe Biden just shows up there with some of the Burisma executives. There's a board meeting in Dubai in 2015 where they look at Hunter Biden and say, hey, we need help from D.C. Make the call. 3 months later, Shokin, the prosecutor in Ukraine, is fired, and Joe Biden brags about using or withholding $1 billion in U.S. aid, putting pressure on Ukraine to get the prosecutor fired.
All of that documented in his testimony. But it's not going to be just Devin Archer's word against Hunter Biden and even what Joe Biden will say, if he should testify. They have the bank records, the SARs, the suspicious activity reports, where banks must file by federal order any unusual transfer of money in or out of an account that was set up to detect money laundering, which is exactly what Hunter Biden was doing, trying to conceal the source of the money and where it went. Hunter Biden has pulled Daddy Joe right into his mess, but then again, who's to say Daddy Joe didn't tell him, go out there and do it, son, I'll back you. Now, I know that could be considered speculation. That's fine, because there are plenty of folks speculating on all sides anyway. But what cannot be denied is that some of it is so clear and backed up by facts, it has to be considered, has to be at least considered by state-controlled media if they really want to be, quote, what's that word again? Ethical? But they don't want to. I can pull up right now looking again at CNN and NNN and what I see on there. Oh, they're talking about DeSantis says, you know what? Trump did lose the election. I'm convinced he did. That is not the issue of the day, but they're going to make it that. Or whatever else they can pull up. I go through their entire page. There's not mention one of anything else regarding Devin Archer's testimony. And, of course, there's some concerns about this latest court filing that Jack Smith put out the other day and all the charges he issued against President Trump, everything from conspiracy against rights, which does include death penalty if anyone dies in the process as you're conspiring against rights, and it also runs all the way through. But now there are apparently questions about, did he file it correctly? Did he make mistakes on it? He was in such a rush to get it out following the Devin Archer testimony. Is it possible that they didn't do the final check of the dotting of the I's, crossing of the T's? Is it possible they began to throw stuff against the wall just because what we got in a box, use it? Congressman Donald, you heard say, as he recounted what Devin Archer said, he laid it all out for us. He laid out exactly everything we'd already been given an idea of. We all have the tape, have seen the tape, of then Vice President Biden saying that he had gone to Ukraine and told him, if you want this $1 billion, you fire that prosecutor that's looking into Burisma. You don't think he knew his son was on the board of Burisma when he made that threat? You can't be that naive. I know you're not that stupid. I doubt you're that naive, but they want to believe you are. And in addition to Florida Congressman Donald's, South Carolina Congressman Russell Fry says, all of this is moving us closer and closer to an impeachment inquiry.
As we uncover more, the focus becomes much more clear. For months, we were stonewalled into getting bank records. Once we got them, it was alleged that we would just see Papa John's receipts and Starbucks receipts, but that's really not true. The president has denied for years that he had any involvement with his son's business, that his family ever received money from China. He said that on a debate stage with President Trump at the time. That's all proven to be not true. And, of course, now we have this letter from Devin Archer, well, it's actually from Joe Biden to Devin Archer from 2011, showing he knew exactly what was going on, that he knew that his son was engaged in these businesses. And as Devin Archer's testimony talks about, Biden was the brand. This wasn't an effort from Burisma and others to offer this blanket of protection for what was going on in Ukraine at the time with Burisma. And in Joe Biden's own words, he got the prosecutor fired from even looking into Burisma. So this administration has not been forthcoming. This president has not been truthful when he has talked to the American people about this. And the facts are important. We're going to continue to uncover those facts. But right now, they're very damning for the president.
And that is the kind of information that even if the state-controlled media wants to protect Joe Biden, they cannot continue to pass themselves off as, well, we're journalists, and ignore that kind of story. They can put their own spin on it, which they will anyway, but they can't just ignore it. Oh, yes, they can. I forgot. The Hunter Biden laptop, when that story first broke, about 8 weeks before the election, between Biden and Trump, they did ignore it. And they did so because the FBI hinted, hey, this could be Russian collusion again. And it was never Russian collusion the first time. But they hid it. They held it back until almost a year and a half later, the New York Times finally admitted, yeah, it was true. The laptop exists. That's what they're apparently going to try to do this time around. And these charges he continued to hit Trump with, they're fueling his campaign. They're not making him weaker. They're not making him walk through the fire. They're firing him up. They're firing up many who might not really like Trump, but they don't like this. They don't like to see their government being used to persecute a political opponent. And Peter Schweizer, who, of course, has done a lot of investigation of the Clintons and the Bidens. And Peter Schweizer, of course, I'll tell you right away, many are going to say, well, he's still a loony bat. That's fine. You go ahead and say that. I have not always bought into everything he presents. But at the same time, when he points out some basic facts, it's pretty difficult to ignore them. Now, Peter Schweizer, again pointing out that there was a phone, possibly a burner phone, because at one time Hunter Biden mentioned getting a burner phone from a local drugstore. Schweizer says that phone was tied to his laptop, and inside might be more damning information.
This is a cell phone that on the Hunter Biden laptop, Hunter Biden actually in 2017 complains to his dad that he doesn't want to pay his dad's bills anymore, including this cell phone. When you look at the billing on the laptop, this cell phone that Joe Biden carried as vice president of the United States was actually paid for by Rosemont, the Archer Hunter Biden business. It's pretty clear this is the phone of contact when Hunter was with his business partner and was calling his dad, or when one of the other business associates, Eric Schwering, is calling Joe Biden, he's using this phone number. We shared that phone number with the House Oversight Committee, Congressman Comer's committee. I don't know if they've subpoenaed it yet, but this could be the pick that unlocks everything.
It could well be. Peter Schweizer, Government Accountability Institute. So the House Oversight Committee has it. Now we're going to see what they end up doing with it. On another front, woke continues to push gender-affirming care for children. That is a sly, slick, tricky way to say, let's change your child's gender.
And in every single systematic review, all five that have been done, they find little to no evidence that there's any benefit of this whatsoever. Now, that wouldn't matter so much if there weren't so much risk. But there is a lot of risk. There's a ton of risk when you give a 12-year-old puberty blockers, which 98% of which, by the way, move on to hormone therapy because those puberty blockers are like a gateway. And then on to surgical interventions. You're telling me there's no risk there? There's a ton of risk. That doesn't even need to be debated.
It does not need to be debated. But what they want you to believe is they know what's best for your child. You were listening then to Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw. He's part of the hearing of government oversight on some medical education. And they're trying to slip into this bill. The Democrats and the Libs, progressives, trying to slip into this education bill federal dollars to be used to transition children. They're playing such a slick behind-the-scenes game. If it weren't for folks like Crenshaw and others, they might well get away with it. And don't think they're going to start trying. And don't forget that every time that you try to fight against taking a child who may not even be able to decide what they want for dinner, suddenly decide, I want to change my gender. I think I might really be a boy instead of a girl. Every time they try something like that and they encourage it and hide it from the parents in particular, they're moving closer to having control of your children. Is that what you want? No. Even Democrats really don't want that, but what they will put in your face on a constant drumbeat, if you don't do this, you have to consider, do you want a live child who was a boy but now is a girl, at least they're alive, or do you want a dead child?
If you're going to do something that carries with it a lot of risk, then you might want to really be sure about the benefits. I keep hearing that this will prevent suicides. Zero evidence for that. There's not one systematic review that says that. Now, say the president of the Endocrine Society says it's true, but studies published by the Endocrine Society say there's no evidence to suggest that there's a causal relationship between less suicides and these kind of therapies. These facts matter quite a bit. It also matters quite a bit when you think about the fact that 70% of U.S. teens who present to gender clinics already have comorbid psychiatric diagnoses that precede the onset of gender issues. That fact really matters when we're trying to ascertain what is causing what. I've been called cruel and indecent for promoting this legislation. That's insane. It's been said that Gerald Ford would never support this, would roll over at his grave as he looks at these terrible Republicans saying that 12-year-old girls shouldn't have double mastectomies or that little boys shouldn't be castrated. Yeah. Are we really the ones who have changed so much? I mean, really? I don't think so.
No, we have not. And again, while I'll say that there are progressives and liberals and Dems who will go along with it, or at least remain silent, which means they are consenting to it because they're not fighting against it. Crenshaw raises that question that begs to be answered. How the hell did we ever get to this point in our society?
This is a social contagion that has occurred just in the last 15 years. I don't think any of you believed in this before 15 years ago. This all happened very recently. This is a social contagion. It is a trend that has captured the imagination of some of our most prestigious society and the leaders of those societies, even though the evidence so clearly does not back it up. We've put a lot of evidence forward. I'll take on anybody who wants to talk about the studies or the systematic reviews. We'll talk about, actually, just after our last subcommittee hearing, Wall Street Journal published a letter from 21 leading pediatricians around the world talking about how this has to stop. They've stopped it in European countries. They've stopped it everywhere except here. The Dutch model that everybody likes to look to that says, look, this proves it works. The Dutch model, the Dutch will say their model is not the American affirmation model. There are doctors in America who say, look, we don't even ask questions. The child comes and presents as trans. We absolutely give them puberty blockers and hormone therapy. We put them on that path that you cannot come back from. You're going to say that's good science, that's good medicine? That's not good medicine. We have to press the pause button. That's all this bill is advocating for. In fact, all it does is remove taxpayer money from doing it when 70% of taxpayers don't agree that puberty blockers should be used on minors.
So at least it's an effort to keep federal tax dollars from being used. If you remember, the same applies to abortion. And Biden immediately started saying, well, we'll do it in our veterans' hospitals. Again, more federal dollars are being spent. The Hyde Amendment prevents that. And no federal tax dollar should be given to any institution that would have gender-affirming care. You're destroying children. You're not affirming anything. Coming up before this hour is over, more from retired Navy Captain Hung Cao on what is at stake in this 2024 election. His ad campaign, very powerful. In the second hour, as usual, Dems attacking Trump for the very same things they do repeatedly. And my next guest says Michelle Obama has a lot to hide. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So every day the question has to be asked inside Democrat circles, if Joe Biden is capable of running, and if he's not, who can they bring forward? Hillary Clinton's still in the wings, waving, I'm here. But many continue to say the only one who would come in and make things work again would be Michelle. But does she want to? Can she? And how much does she have to cover up to do so? My next guest has done a lot of investigative work and reports on Michelle Obama, has a new book out. Actually, the book came out in 2022, but it's still applicable today. Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. Joel Gilbert, glad to have you on board, Joel.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's also a movie as well. It's both a film and a book.
Yeah, I was getting ready to point that out, and I'm glad you did. And where do they see the movie, by the way? Let's do that real quick.
Yeah, you can live stream the movie on salemnow.com or Amazon Prime Video, and then the book version and the DVD are on amazon.com.
All right, well, part of the story of Michelle Obama, first of all, one thing that stood out for me from the beginning, or not the beginning, but at one point she said, "For the first time in my life, I feel proud to be an American." After all she's been given, for the first time in her life, she felt proud to be an American.
Right. Well, there's a lot of background to why that happened. You might remember in 2008, Michelle was giving speeches to huge crowds every night, and people weren't paying attention that she was saying some very nasty things. She'd say, "You can't buy food in this country. You can't afford child care. Don't get sick in this country." And she kind of went over the top one night and said, "For the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country because Barack won a primary." Now, she said a lot nastier things than that about the country, but the media started paying attention. And that's when the campaign told Michelle, said, "Look, people, now they're paying attention to you. You could lose the election for us. People are going to hate you." And that's when she got a speechwriter. And the next night she said, "Oh, I hate politics and I just want to be the mom in chief." So she kind of took a step back because, you know, she kind of got exposed as how political she was. She's a political animal. She's a better politician than Barack. She's a better speaker. She comes across more authentic. And
Well, anyone's going to get into politics, you better be a political animal, and you better know how to play the game and everything else. But if you're going to step into that arena, a lot of spotlights are going to be on you. And she and the movie that came out showing their love life, that's fine if people enjoyed it. Two people in love, aside from them being Barack and Michelle, I could care less. But we were given the impression that she was just a poor South Side girl like Barack was, and they just happened to encounter each other.
Yeah, well, that's the phony story Michelle floated. She claims, and she's been working on this for years, she's claiming, "Well, I'm from the South Side of Chicago," to give some kind of romantic idea. Not true. She's actually from South Shore, which is an exclusive community on Lake Michigan. Where Jesse Jackson's from. He never said he was from the South Side.
Well, now, let me ask, is that South part of Chicago? Is that the way you get around it? It's just a flat-out lie.
Yeah, no, she's from South Shore. It's now in the South Side. And she's been pushing this idea for years. She says, "Oh, I suffered discrimination growing up, and I was held back in life because of my skin color," all these fake stories, including one she tells about her high school guidance counselor. She claims the guidance counselor racially profiled her about applying to Princeton University. She said the counselor told her, "You're black, maybe you're stretching applying to Princeton." Well, I found out her high school guidance counselor was a church-going black woman and assistant principal. There's no way she racially profiled her. So Michelle puts forth these phony stories to convince and manipulate minority and black voters to get power, to say, "Hey, I'm just one of you. I show in my film and my book, Michelle Obama 2024, the reality is very different. Michelle grew up in a political family. Her father was a precinct captain working for the Democrat Party machine. Michelle grew up afraid of the black community. She's afraid of black people. They would beat her up and accuse her of acting white and talking white. Michelle even wrote in her autobiography about getting in a fist fight with a girl who called her an Oreo, meaning you're black on the outside, but you're really a white girl on the inside. It's a major insult. So Michelle ran away from having anything to do with the black community. Her and her brother, instead of going to South Shore High School, a block from their house, both went over an hour away. Her brother went to a expensive private Catholic school with all white kids, and Michelle went to a magnet school. So she always ran away from black people. She was afraid of them. And then she went to Princeton and Harvard and went to work in Chicago for the mayor of Chicago. She was assistant planning commissioner, and her job was to knock down the project. She made 20,000 blacks homeless when she knocked down Cabrini Green and destroyed all these homes. And Michelle told the black residents, this is going to be good for you.
Now, may I stop you right there?
Yeah.
How can
yeah.
she be in charge of demolishing housing for minorities and tell them this is good for you?
Look, the white liberal elites could not hire a white person to do bad things to the black community. They had to hire a front person who was black. So Michelle always filled those jobs. She got paid a lot of money to exploit the black community on behalf of white liberal elites. Same thing at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Having proven how callous she was toward the black community, they hired her to kick black residents out of the emergency room at the University of Chicago Medical Center. They were losing money because a lot of Southside residents would come there and didn't have insurance.
And so she Michelle was busing started, them. She was busing them elsewhere, is that right?
Yeah, she put them in these vans and dumped them back. It's called patient dumping. It was illegal. Right. She dumped them back on the South Side of these crappy clinics and again told them, this is good for you. So Michelle made millions of dollars exploiting the black community. She has a terrible relationship with the black community in Chicago. She exploited them in her professional career. She ran away from them as a kid. But as a politician, she pretends to be and wants them to think, hey, I'm just one of you.
Well, now, Barack Obama is also facing that criticism lately. He has seldom returned to Chicago, except to overlook, his presidential library, which is, again, displacing a lot of minority residents. In fact, there have been direct complaints from black Southside citizens saying, he hasn't done anything for us. He didn't do anything for us when he was in the office.
Yeah, that's true. Look, all of black America at the end of Obama's first term, they really weren't sure they were going to come out and vote for the Obamas again because they had done nothing for the black community. I mean, their inflation was up, their economy was bad, illegals were taking over jobs. And that's when Obama picked up on the George Zimmerman case in Florida with Trayvon Martin. He sent down the Justice Department, FBI, Al Sharpton, and they came up with a fake witness. This girl, Rachel Gentile, pretended that she was on the phone with Trayvon Martin and got Zimmerman arrested. And that's when Obama came out and said, I had a son who looked like Trayvon. So Obama inflamed the black community and embraced Black Lives Matter, which was founded on this case, and brought them to the White House and ruined race relations to make sure he could stay in power. And the Obamas, in fact, when they went to the White House, race relations were at 70% positive. Both black and whites said it was positive. When he left office, it only was 30. It flipped, only 30%. So the Obamas are famous for ruining race relations in order to take and maintain power.
Now, that statement, a lot of people have echoed it and stating that race relations got worse through the Obama years rather than uniting us. Now, in the first 4 years, I saw that, and I thought maybe the next four, he'll really be a statesman and bring us back together. Did that come anywhere near happening?
No, these are just lines that Obama's used. Like even Michelle, I think she's going to run for president. I think Biden will drop out in November, I'm predicting, because December 23rd is the deadline for signatures to get on the ballot in all the primaries. So I think Biden will drop out for health or some other reason, and we'll see Michelle enter. And she'll say things like, I hate politics, but I love this nation, and I want to bring us all together. Remember the Obama years, nostalgia. We never had any scandals. So she'll try to use the same themes that Barack did to become president. I'm going to bring us all together again because of my background. But she is following Barack's formula, doing the same things he did. He had a voter registration organization. Now she has one. Barack was the keynote speaker that introduced John Kerry at the Democrat convention in 2004. Michelle introduced Joe Biden. Barack wrote two autobiographies. Michelle wrote two autobiographies. So I think she's pretty much following in his footsteps.
Well, then she's probably going to get a Pulitzer Prize too then, right?
Well, she's up for an Emmy because she
did right.
for an interview.
Right.
Yeah, she did an interview about one of her autobiographies, The Light We Carry, here in Los Angeles. I was actually at the event. And just because she was interviewed by Oprah, which she's been a million times, she's up for an Emmy.
Well, the problem the nation as a whole will face, and the Democrats are having to deal with, how many of the Democrats are really willing to side with Michelle, but they don't want to side with Biden?
There's pretty much consensus everywhere that they don't want Biden even now, let alone for 2024, and he's not running. There's pretty much consensus. Biden has no campaign office, no campaign manager. I think the reason he released a three-minute video back in April saying he's running was simply a reaction and a fear of the Kennedy name because RFK Jr. announced for president. So I think they thought, well, let's put out a three-minute video, and that'll freeze out the field so no one else joins, and people will know that don't go for RFK. And I think it's just to hold the public and the Democrats in place. But they clearly don't want Biden, and Michelle solves all their problems.
Very
the Democrats...
I was going to say, the last 30 seconds,
go ahead,
would you end up having Michelle and Kamala battling in a primary?
No, I don't think Kamala has any support, not amongst the general population and certainly not in the black community. I mean, she grew up in Canada. Her mother's from India. She her father's from Jamaica. I don't think the black community ever really embraced her. So I don't think she's going anywhere. I think it's a slam dunk for Michelle. They moved the first primary to South Carolina, which where half the electorate for the Democrat primary are African-American. The DNC is in Chicago for a homegirl convention. It's all being set up, I believe.
All right, I do appreciate Josh Gilbert. We'll have to be talking to you again, especially as we get closer to that decision date. Josh Gilbert, author of the book, Michelle Obama 2024, yes. Her Real Life Story and Plan, and on film, you can get it through Salem Now, you say, a DVD or live stream?
Salem Now, Amazon Prime Movies. It's Joel Gilbert, by the way, and it's Michelle Obama 2024.
Joel Gilbert. Thank you very much, Joel. Coming up, more from that retired Navy Captain Kyle on Saving America. Stand by, please. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
These advocacy groups that you mentioned are actually the ones to blame. I mean, these are the people that demanded we have sanctuary city laws, demanded we have right to shelter laws in this state, basically guaranteeing that as of tonight, we actually have the population equivalent of Helena, Montana, who are migrants sleeping in our shelters, of whom we're paying for every single service from food to shelter.
Yeah.
So we have reached a critical point right now. And I don't think Eric Adams is doing this tapes just to use them as props. But I also don't think the theatrics of what we're seeing every single day is hurting Adams. If you believe, as I do, that he wants to bring this thing to a head quicker than later.
Quicker than later, and he's talking about the issue facing New York City, a sanctuary city, and others who follow in that sanctuary line, because they believe, well, we're going to open up our door for all the illegals. We'll bring them in. That is a New York City Council minority leader, Joe Borelli, Republican. So you might expect him to say that, but Democrats are echoing the same thing. They're looking at all these illegals coming into their city. And, of course, they want to quickly blame Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis for sending them north. They forget or don't know that prior to the publicity about Abbott sending buses north, Joe Biden was flying illegals deep into the interior of the nation, maybe into the north, and wouldn't ever let anyone know they're coming. They just wake up one day in one town and I'm like, where did all these people come from? UFOs? No, Joe Biden administration. The city of 8 million is apparently so crowded they can't take any more illegals. Now, I understand that. They've got homeless there, as they do in San Francisco. But the smarter homeless go to a sunnier, warmer climate. I mean, come on. If you're going to be homeless, do you want to be homeless in the cold snow and blizzards of New York and upper U.S., or do you go south? And you can't go south to Florida, so you go south to California. And in the midst of those are veterans, and in the midst of them and the others are some who really need medical attention, physical and also mental. I don't want to look at these people as castaways, that you just discard them. They are human beings. And except by the grace of God, you could be in their shoes. I don't want anyone to quickly judge the homeless that live in this country and are U.S. citizens. I do judge those who are coming across the border illegally to come into this country. And the Biden administration, I judge for allowing it to happen. Mayorkas was asked the other day in a congressional hearing how many would be too many. He didn't have a number. You know why? Because there is no too many for them. Because they're not really dealing with it. They're pushing it along. I've asked repeatedly, is there any Hollywood elite, any billionaire leftists opening their homes, lowering the gates over their moats, and telling the folks, you can come on in and camp on our grounds here, or we could put 40 families in my 3-car garage or 6-car garage. We could add even more. No, they don't want to do that. So when they show up in New York City, the city feels obligated, obviously, to do something about it. And Mayor Adams is now criticizing Joe Biden, saying, you put this on us. Well, I'm glad you're finally calling him out. And, of course, don't forget, for a period of time, Adams was trying to bust them from New York up into New York State. They didn't want them either. He's doing the same tactic he was accusing Biden of doing. The bottom line question is, when is all of this going to stop?
That's the question that there seems to be no answer from. We already leased over 100 hotels. There just simply aren't any more hotels for us to lease that are willing to do this. We've built temporary shelters. So the question really is to these Democrats, when are they going to just cut the cord? Now, we recently had 54 Democrats here in New York sign a letter to Joe Biden saying, you have to declare a state of emergency. So that's a good step, that's sort of a self-reflective moment, realizing that this is a crisis that isn't going to be resolved until the border gets shut down, and the federal government starts paying for some of these people they let in.
In other words, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Things are falling apart. I think this city is in crisis.
I would say so. I mean, this migrant crisis alone is costing us more than the fire department and the sanitation department combined. I mean, this is one of our single largest expenses as a city, and it is the responsibility of the federal government. Now, you could blame the Democrats, I sure do, for making us a sanctuary city and basically demanding that we provide these services. But until Mayor Adams and the rest of his Democratic colleagues really come to the conclusion that this will not end until they cut the cord,
then they will finally have an awakening. And again, that's New York City Councilman, Minority Member Borelli. As you heard him state, more than a dozen, almost two dozen Democrats from New York City have signed letters on a letterhead, I should say, to President Biden saying you've got to stop this. You're not going to stop until you close the border. We're going to hear testimony as the weeks move forward. Oh, we're doing everything. We're taking care of them. We're moving them out. They're not doing it. If you as a U.S. citizen try to get into Canada, you're going to be stopped and you have to prove your identity. If you sneak into Canada, they will arrest you and they will deport you. If you try to go into Mexico, at some point, you might be stopped. And if you're there illegally and you don't have any cause to be there, they might do the same. Or worse, put you in jail. And yet we have, at this point, these sanctuary cities, states, counties, other jurisdictions where basically law enforcement is told, do not cooperate with federal immigration authorities. The more sanctuaries we have, then the more opportunities for illegals to come in and hide in the shadows. Currently, there are 11 states in the nation, 11, that have through executive action or passage of a law declared themselves sanctuary states, Illinois being one of them. And although not, oh, which by the way reminds me, in case you missed it, Governor Pritzker of Illinois signed an order last week allowing illegals to get a green card so they can apply to be a police officer, be given a badge and a gun, and sworn in to uphold law and order when they broke the law to get into the country. In addition to the 11 cities, or rather 11 states, District of Columbia considered a sanctuary jurisdiction, but they don't want them either. There are about 600 sanctuary jurisdictions in the U.S. That does not include Martha's Vineyard. Didn't we find that out? Get these people out of here. And did Obama come forward to help provide any meals or any consolation to these illegals? Nope. I don't know where he was. It's his free time. Could be on the golf course. Maybe just sitting at his $4 million, $40 million mansion in the Hamptons, and not Hamptons, but Martha's Vineyard. And what? Somebody came to town? I didn't hear that. I want to change subjects with you. In 1975, when Saigon fell to the communists, our country evacuated thousands, saving them from slavery, rape, torture, death. And one of those saved, a boy who later went to the Naval Academy, is now running for the U.S. Senate. His story, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is the scariest sound you will hear when you live in a communist country. This is the last sound my parents heard when their fathers were taken away in the middle of the night, and they never saw their loved ones again. That's the sound of losing your freedom, the sound of always living in fear.
Always living in fear. The speaker was Hung Cao. He is retired after 25 years in the Navy as a captain. He went to the Naval Academy after he got to the U.S., got a master in physics, fellowships with MIT and Harvard before Harvard decided to no more Asians, put more racial quotas in for other minorities. He's now challenging Democrat Senator Tim Kaine, and his story continues on Vietnam to the U.S.
That's the sound of losing your freedom, the sound of always living in fear. That's my family's real life story. We escaped from Vietnam just days before Saigon fell to the communists. We were given a new life in the most generous country on earth. America saved my life. I graduated from the United States Naval Academy. I earned a master's in physics and fellowships at MIT and Harvard before the left replaced merit with racial quotas. I spent my life trying to repay my debt to America, my country, our country. With 25 years of service in Navy Special Operations, combat in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia. But now our country has taken a dark turn.
Now, by a dark turn, obviously, we see a lot of it happening around us. And the issue you have to keep in mind, that here you have, who was a boy, now a retired naval captain, saying, I want to step in and help this country. He ran for a House seat, which he should have won, nearly lost by 6 points. It had been redrawn as an area that Biden won previously. But you're listening to part of his campaign, and it might be the most impressive campaign ever, much less this year. That pounding is him banging on a board as if someone's trying to come through your front door. And here he is on the present day.
That's Joe Biden's Justice Department sending 24 armed agents to arrest a pro-life activist in front of his family. That's Joe Biden's IRS raiding a gun shop and seizing thousands of records from law-abiding gun owners, our names, our addresses, our social security numbers. That's Joe Biden arresting his challenger in the next election, a former president of the United States. And now a different sound. That's the sound of someone breaking into your home or business. The sound of crime destroying our cities and communities. That's how it all starts. They let criminals back on our streets. Millions of illegal immigrants pour across our border each year, including military-aged men from all over the world. And enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in this country. And the Biden family? Well, that's how it works in a dictatorship. The rules don't apply to the rulers. We are losing our country. You know it, but you also know you can't say it. We're forced to say that wrong is right. We're forced to lie. We can't let that happen.
Cannot and should not and will not let it happen. A man like Hung Cao can lead the way. Here's the conclusion of his special commercial.
I've been all over the world. Believe me when I tell you, if America fails, there's nowhere else to go. I'm Hung Cao, retired Navy captain, running for United States Senate. I still believe America can be the land of opportunity. I have an obligation to fight back against those who want to control our lives and disrupt our families. We need real fighters, not politicians, not bureaucrats, not keyboard warriors acting tough in a custom-made suit. No, not here in America. We must refuse to be intimidated. We must be fearless. I'm Hung Cao. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message because I'm not done fighting for us.
Next hour, we're going to play Hung Cao's remarks again for those who missed it, or you want to contact family and friends to hear it, basically uninterrupted. Also, a black professor calling out VP Harris for making false claims about the Florida black student curriculum, and Dems accusing Trump of doing exactly the same they do repeatedly. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.